Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
You must understand the touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl opposites attract.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box, all new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12 o'clock. Let's talk some more baseball with our friend Rob Raines. Rob, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Frank. Welcome home. I'm sure you're happy to be back.
Yes, sir. Good to be back. No doubt about it.
I'm sure you had a great trip, too.
Yes. In fact, I'm really thinking about just moving to Venice, being like a gondola guy, just kind of boat people up.
Can't you do your show remotely from there? Probably.
Yeah,
probably
I think good. So. As long as I could have access to your great tweets and text, and I could be up to date, which I was reading in Genoa, in Venice, in Positano. I was reading you every day. You're keeping me up to date, so I appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, we got a lot to talk about. First of all, kind of an overview on the yield they got on Hicks, Montgomery, and Flaherty, and Paul DeJong. Just what would you give it if the grade, factoring in that most of these guys, they weren't going to be able to, they were going to be free agents. What do you think? 1 to 10.
Yeah. Somebody asked me that earlier this morning, and I hadn't really thought about it, a letter grade, but I think I'd probably give it a B.
Okay.
You know, in terms of, I think they got more depth than probably necessarily top flight guys. I'm actually in the process of doing my annual re-ranking of prospects, and a couple of them are going to be in the top 10 of the new rankings when they come out later this week, you know, somewhere between the 7 and 10 range. But I think that the depth is probably the biggest part of it, because now they've got, you know, they were able to replenish the arms in the top levels of the system, and we'll see if they get lucky and some of these guys can break out. I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. The Roby kid that they got from Texas, I think the Montgomery package from Texas was the best return for what they got. The Roby kid is hurt right now, but if he's healthy, and they still think he will be by the end of the year, I think he has a chance to be a pretty good big league starting pitcher, not necessarily a one or two, but maybe a middle to back end of the rotation guy. And then the Sagiski guy that they got, the infielder who's playing in Springfield, everybody just raves about how well he can hit. So I think that return was probably the best of the guys that they got.
One guy that I was intrigued by was the Jordan Hicks yield and return, the Adam Klopfenstein, who had a good outing the other night with 5 innings and 6 Ks, and he throws really hard, big, strong guy. Any thoughts on him?
Yeah, I think he and the other guys, I think it's Robert or something is the name of the kid from the Netherlands, the two that they got for Hicks. I think they're both going in the rotation in Memphis, so we'll see what they do. Robert's got roughed up his first game. But, yeah, I think Klopfenstein is probably an underrated prospect, too.
Speaking of Memphis, educate our listening audience. The reason that Mason Wynn is not here now and makes more sense August 16th or 17th, one of those 2 days, maybe it's the 18th, that it helps them in terms of keeping control of him longer. Kind of elaborate on that.
Right. Right. I think it's actually going to end up being a couple of weeks later than that. If I had to guess, I'm going to guess it's going to be closer to the end of the month. But I think, because there's two reasons. Well, there's multiple reasons. One is that there is a limit, and I think it's 45 days of service time that a player has to be under that to retain his rookie status for the next year. And it's also 100 at-bats. So you can't let a guy get more than 100 at-bats big leagues or to retain your rookie status for the next year. And the reason that's important for the team, not so much for win status, is that if he does stay a rookie next year and then gets to be rookie of the year, the Cardinals will get an extra pick in the draft the following year as compensation. That's trying to encourage, you know, teams not to hold guys back for service time reasons and stuff like that. So I think that's part of it. I think part of it is that, you know, Edmund's playing short. I mean, they don't. If Edmund were to get hurt or something again, then you'd have a need for a shortstop. But right now, you don't have that need for a shortstop. They want to see, you know, give Carlson some more looks in center field on a more regular basis. So I say my guess is, and I could be dead wrong, but I'm getting still a couple weeks away from seeing Mason Wynn up here.
They probably don't have an idea what they're going to do with Tyler O'Neill, but it makes a whole lot of sense to make sure he's playing, you know, 5 to 6 days a week. I saw the interesting quote by Ali that they think they've figured it out, playing 5 days a week. But A, if he's on fire, he increases his trade value, and B, since he's under control next year, you know, you may get lucky, or I don't know. I know people don't want to hear it. We got to go down that Tyler O'Neill road again. But what do you think, his whole situation?
Well, there's no question that when he's on the field and he's playing well, he can be a productive player. I mean, we saw some great plays in the outfield. I mean, he's won two gold gloves. We know he can hit, you know, 25 to 30 home runs. He just has to be on the field playing. So I think you're right. Two things are going to happen is he's either going to play well enough that somebody's going to say, okay, we think we can we see that he's healthy for 2 months here. We think we can keep him healthy and you know, up the trade value of what they'll offer in return for him. Or number one, they decide that they're going to keep him and think that you think they can keep him healthy, and then you're going to see one of the other outfielders probably flipped. I think it's one of those two things that's going to probably happen this way.
So have you seen online, I don't know who came out with it, but they were comparing the first three seasons and basically the same amount of bats of Lars Nootbaar with Willie Mays and with Barry Bonds, and he actually compares relatively well with those two legendary players. I'm not saying that he's going to be there. He won't be. He won't be at that level. But these on-base percentages and OPSs are pretty tough to ignore. This is a good-looking offensive player.
Yeah, he's probably a bit more productive offensively really than I expected him to be. You know, we came up, I thought he was probably the guy that would be your fourth outfielder kind of guy. He could play defense, could run, could, you know, hit a little bit. But the power is a little better than I thought it would be. And, yeah, I think he's a guy that, you know, that definitely enters into this outfield mix, too. I mean, I think if the Cardinals would admit it, they probably would say that they're convinced that Nootbaar and Walker are going to be two of their three outfielders going forward, and they just got to settle on the third guy and then whoever the fourth guy is going to be. So, you know, you got Carlson, you got O'Neill, you got Burleson, you know, all those guys in that mix. And then, you know, a guy like Moises Gomez, who's been playing all year at Memphis, don't forget he led the minor leagues in home runs last year. And I know most of his, you know, at best in the big league will probably be as a DH, but he can't even get a sniff of a look up here. And then you got the kid Victor Scott, who's, you know, got 70-something stolen bases at Springfield and is, you know, not – he's 22. He was a college draft pick last year out of the draft, so he could come quickly too. So they've got, you know, some guys right on the cusp there of competing for that playing time.
Andy talked about this morning. He was disturbed by a quote from Jordan Walker where he said the only way he's going to be better is through game reps as an outfielder, because he certainly struggled out there. So with that said, it doesn't make any sense to not play him 6 days a week in right field, right? I mean, he's going to be a starter. He's got to learn the position.
Right. The only way he could do it. I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting because we're talking, had a big kind of scrum yesterday morning with Ollie, and we're talking about one of the things that came out of the WBC, and it wasn't really Walker related, but I think it is kind of pertinent, is that because all those guys were gone in spring training, you had to do stuff during the regular season that you could have done in spring training, i.e. see what Tyler O'Neill could do in center field. And I think the same thing now is true with Walker. I mean, I just think that, you know, he's going to have to play every day, and that, you know, the win and losses is important at this time of year, because you're, you know, obviously trying to win as many games as you can, but I think that the more important thing is planning for next year. And if they're planning for next year as far as the pitching staff is concerned, they got to plan for next year for the outfield. And if they're convinced that Walker's going to be their everyday right fielder, he is right in one sense. I mean, however he gets the reps, the only way you get better out there is by practice and experience. And it's not his fault. I mean, he never played the outfield before last year. So, you know, trying to learn it at the big league level is really, really tough. And you know, he's got a great teacher in Willie McGee. And, you know, you see before games, especially days that he's not playing or that he's DHing, he's out there before the game taking a lot of extra work. And he's going to work at it. I mean, there's no question he's going to work. He's going to work hard. And I think he's going to get better at it. And I think he's going to be okay. I don't know that I predict he'd ever win a gold glove, but I think he's going to be good enough because his bat's going to play well enough that he could get by out there.
Okay, I know Tommy Edman is a good player, but these statistics by Mason Wynn in Memphis are just insane, especially, you know, the last couple of months. So with that said, when he comes up, whether it's late August or early September, he's got to play every day too, right? And would you say, like, if you had to make a prediction, who's going to get the most starts at shortstop next season, who would you bet on?
Mason Wynn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he just does too many things for you. You know, I mean, yeah, Edman is a great player. I mean, a very good player, very productive player, but he can't do the kind of things I don't think that Mason Wynn can do. He's, you know, older player now, too, starting making some money. I mean, I think you're going to look at a guy like him. I mean, he's one of two things. The other thing is, you know, where does he fit into the outfield? I mean, we saw when he played center field, I mean, he played it very well. So maybe that's the direction. Maybe they trade both O'Neill and Carlson and go with an outfield of Nootbaar in left and Edman in center and Walker in right. And then Burleson is your extra outfielder. Maybe they go that route, you know, or I think Edman could find himself, you know, as a trade chip for some, you know, from pitching help too at some point. If you decide that you're going to keep, you know, Carlson or Nupar, you know, at center, and Walker, and, I mean, and O'Neal left. They've got a lot of moving parts that they're going to have to figure out. But I think, to me, I mean, I think they're not necessarily saying it, but to me, if Wynn can do at the Big League level what he's shown he can do at the AAA level this year, he's your starting shortstop.
Yeah, that'd be kind of neat to have a Wynn-Gorman combo for the next 6 or 7 years up the middle with that type of dynamic offensive capabilities.
And the thing about Mason too is he's just such an electric player. You know, he's a spark plug. He's a leader. He's a motivator. I mean, it's the one guy he's going to help more than anybody else if he gets up there is Jordan Walker, because they get along so well and they're such best friends that he can keep him relaxed and confident, and just, you know, that competition between the two of them is just going to be really fun to watch for a long time to come.
So, how would you handle the Adam Wainwright situation moving forward? Let's say, for instance, he's rocked again in Tampa. He does get the ball in 5 days after that, right? They don't have a lot of starting pitching, and they're not playing for anything. Or what do you think?
No, if he's healthy, as long as he's not hurt, he's going to get the ball every 5 days the rest of the season. And they're just going to hope that he can get, you know, these two wins and maybe more than that. You know, I mean, I think, you know, the last couple times haven't gone well, but I still think that they, as long as he's healthy, I think they're going to, you know, hopefully try to figure out a way to get him those two wins and more. But yeah, I don't anticipate them doing anything different within the rest of the season.
You know, what's crazy too is, like, we were talking about this with Andy, it's not like the Cincinnati Reds, who they're going to see a lot of, and he hasn't pitched real well against, they're going to say, you know what, he's so close to 200, he's pitching in a bush, he's at 199. I mean, nobody's going to give him a break. And if he's throwing the ball 86, boy, I guess there's two more outings of five crafty innings in him. Problem is, you got to make sure you're hitting a lot for him, and then your bullpen preserves the victory, and those are two big ifs.
Yeah, because remember, he left that game in, where was it, Arizona with the lead?
Yes.
On track to get the 199th win, and the bullpen couldn't keep that win. So that's going to be a factor, too. Yeah, I don't necessarily expect him to go pitch 9 shutout innings someday, but I think he can give you 5 or 6, you know, 3 to 4 run innings, you know, 3 or 4 run games, and then hopefully that's enough. The offense can carry it, and the bullpen will carry it through. I think he's got to get past this one. I think if he can get the 199th win, finally get past this streak of not having a win for a couple months, then I think the 200 one will come pretty soon thereafter.
All right, so in terms of the pitching moving forward, Rob, I want to get your take on this one. Isn't it best for the Cardinals to look at it like this? Miles Michaelis is a fine pitcher, but we're going to put a number by his name, and it says 3. And Steven Matz has been pretty good here down the stretch. We're going to put a number by him. We're going to put him in rotation. We're going to put his number at 4. And then at number 5, you got like 10 guys to choose from. One of those guys is going to come through. But 1 and 2 are not in the organization now, and they're going to come out of Bill DeWitt's pocketbook. And one of them should be Aaron Nola. What about moving forward and how you handle the starting 5?
I think you've got it right. Yeah, I mean, I think they've got to my mind, they have to bring in 3 starting pitchers for this winter. Now, I don't know that sure that necessarily they're all going to be free agents. I think it'll be a combination of free agent and trade packages. And I'm going to say, you know, the guy that might be the 5th guy might be one of those guys that you just put in that mix, like you just said, and kind of throw everything into the plan in spring training and see who emerges with that job. But I think there need to be another guy outside the organization. So my guess is you go sign. You know, I don't know about the Aaron Nola thing, but
why not?
Who knows if he's going to spend? Well, I mean, I'd love to have him. I just don't know that they'll agree to spend $200 million or more to get him. And if they do, then that's great. I mean, I'd love to have him. I think he's the kind of guy that they need. But I also think there's a group of, you know, guys that are going to be that next tier below that are probably more going to be in the price range that this team's going to want to afford.
What about Lucas Giolito? How much will he command? $20 million?
I would think at least, yeah.
For
I think they're probably okay to pay that $20 million. I just think it's that $25 to $30 million that they're going to be balking at and going past, you know, 5 years. You know, I think they would pay, you know, $20 million for 4 years, maybe 20 for 5, or somewhere in that range. But you're going to have, you know, that's the range that Flaherty's going to be in. That's the range that probably, you know, Sonny Gray is going to be in. You know, maybe they go get a guy like Kyle Gibson for a year, who's had a pretty good year with Baltimore. It lives in the area. You know, I think it would probably come cheaper than that. To be maybe your candidate for the fifth guy, that fifth spot, and then you try to trade for somebody like the teams that had a lot of depth at starting pitching that, you know, Mo mentioned at the trade deadline that weren't interested in flipping none of those guys at the deadline. Maybe you have more time to go back and revisit those discussions with Seattle, with the Dodgers, with Miami, try to get one of their young starters here too.
So what you have to trade would be Tommy Edman and Dylan Carlson. Is that going to yield you a number?
Or O'Neill. Yeah, or O'Neill, or maybe, you know, maybe even Luke Baker. I mean, the guy's got 31 home runs and 89 RBIs at Memphis, and he can't get a sniff up here. And I was, that's because you got Paul Goldschmidt here, but true. But there's got to be somebody as a first base needs a first baseman or a DH with that kind of pop that you say if he can do all that in Triple A, you got to be able to play, do something in the big league. So you may have, you know, some guys like that could you could put into a package too, and you're, you know, bullpen guys. So
yeah, does it make any sense for Luke Baker to play every day in September here as a DH?
Maybe. I don't know that I'd play him every day, but I think he's going to have to get some at-bats up here in September the way he's finished this season down Memphis for sure.
Huh. All right. One interesting stat about Tink Hentz. Hasn't gone – I don't think he's gone six innings all season long. Do you think that's because they're just being really, really careful with his special right arm, or his arm strength is not there yet to go last very long?
I think it's a combination of the two. He's gone 80 pitches a few times. It just hasn't been enough to get him past the fifth inning. I think that's kind of. I think it's more driven by the pitch count than the innings thing situation. And he's still, you know, not necessarily clean innings a lot of times. You know, I mean, he's. I'm not actually seeing him this weekend, and I think he's still, you know, to do a feature piece. But I think he's still, yeah, just right on the cusp of just being terrific. And he's still, he just turned 21 on Sunday. So, I mean, he's just, you know, he's still such a young pitcher and doing so well. I think they're just still really, really cautious. He's still building up his arm strength and building up, you know, how deep he can go into ball games. But there's no doubt that he's going to be a pitcher up here in the big leagues. And I don't know necessarily next year, maybe by the end of the year, but I think you definitely could count on him being in that mix for 2025. And that, again, that maybe that's why you don't sign a guy past, you know, a couple year deal, because you know you got somebody like that coming.
So you think when we talk about Aaron Nola and maybe Sonny Gray, those two being signed by the Cardinals in the offseason, you think that's too expensive for their taste?
Well, I don't think Sonny Gray will be too expensive, but I think that would probably be kind of, I haven't looked at the salary figures, what he's making this year, but I can't think he's got to be less than, or would come less as a, less expensive than Aaron Nola would be. So.
Yeah, but if you want to be better than every team in your division, or if you want to actually be as good as other teams in the National League, you have to get somebody that's better than Miles Michaelis and Steven Matz.
I agree. Whether it's a trade, you know, guys that you get in a trade, or whether it's a free agent, it has to be one way or the other.
And you know,
and I think they're going to get those guys by a combination of that. That's what I expect.
I wish, and look, I think Bill DeWitt's been a good owner, and we're going to have an historical September. This is going to be the first September where there will be no reason to care about Cardinal baseball in terms of we're not going to have 70 home runs, we're not going to be in contention, we're not going to be winning it. This is the first time it's ever happened. So he's been a very good owner. But there's a part of me, and I use this line all the time, is why should we care if the DeWitt great-grandchildren have an extra $25 million in their trust funds when that money could be spent and you could be, you know, a legitimate chance to win the National League if you bought a Nola and somebody else really good?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. I think the other interesting thing is, you know, people may have noticed this yesterday, but you know, the announced attendance yesterday at the ballpark was 40,000 and something. There were not 40,000 people.
Yeah, how many people were there? I didn't see.
A little over 25.
And it's going to get worse and worse with kids going back to college.
There are about 15,000 no-shows. And I know they got the money. I know the tickets were sold. But still, that's a reflection on how the teams played. And that's something that I think the ownership is going to notice.
Wow. Whew. Just got a text here. Listening to Milwaukee radio station, they're saying who's a free agent in 2025. Corbin Burnes is asking for 8 years over $250
million. I don't think he'd get that from the Cardinals.
No.
I don't know that I would sign any pitcher for an eight-year contract. I mean, that's just too much of a risk involved.
Yeah.
Especially for that kind of money.
But you know, it is not the Cardinal way to do it like that. But, Rob, I wonder, it's also not the Cardinal way to have the worst record in the National League, which they could get there. Maybe desperate times, desperate measures, and they just, okay, we're not going to be the Cardinals in the offseason. We're not going for low-hanging fruit. We're going for it.
I would like to see that. I would. I mean, I think this is the time to do it. I mean, I think you need to make a statement. You need to go out there and improve what you've got. And you know, I think the offense is good enough. I mean, I think, you know, I know they got, you know, shut out by the Rockies from 8 hits yesterday. But I think, by and large, you know, you're going to still have a pretty productive offense the rest of this season and next year. I don't see a lot of changes, you know, other than maybe, you know, the couple people that we talked about. I really don't see a whole lot of new faces coming in to change this offense at all. You know, I mean, I think the offense is what you've got, and I think it's pretty good. I think they just got to figure out, you know, about the not only the starting pitching, I think they've got a lot of question marks they've got to answer in the bullpen as well.
All right, what do you have coming up online? Any interesting big stories coming up for you, feature stories?
I'm in the process of doing my re-ranking of the prospects for the organization. I always do after the trade deadline, so working on that to get up in a couple of days. And some of these new players will be fairly highly featured in the story. And I'm actually heading to Springfield this weekend to try to start doing a longer profile on Tink Hentz. So
as we speak, I know you don't have the list out, but Wynn is one and Hentz is two, right? Nothing will change there.
That's not going to come as a surprise. Anybody's not going to be surprised by those first two names on the list, no.
Gotcha. All right, young man. I'll see you shortly, I'm sure. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, Frank. Welcome home.
All right. Thank you, Rob. Rob Range joining us for some instant offense on the Cardinals. Let's take our final break, and we'll be right back after this.